Welcome back, everybody. This is Rick Pettigrew to pass along our top news stories from this past week of Archaeologica. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. The discovery of bloodletting tools in northern Sudan shows that this practice is at least 7,000 years old. Restorers at an Egyptian temple revealed a surprising series of zodiac symbols. DNA analysis of Beethoven's hair generates new insight into why he died. And excavators at Chichen Itza came up with a buried sculpture of the city's famous feathered serpent god. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We now have hundreds of titles you can binge upon on Roku. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue this year, including a tour of Viking sites in Denmark in late May. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of March 19th through the 25th, 2023. We begin this week in northern Sudan, where Heritage Daily reports that archaeologists discovered 7,000-year-old bone tools used to bleed cattle. The Neolithic tools are thought to be the earliest evidence of the practice. According to Dr. Piotr Osupinski, one of the excavation's lead archaeologists, the characteristic shape of the blades indicates that they were likely used to bleed cows in a fashion similar to a technique still used by some African cowherds today. In some pastoral communities, cow's blood is drunk on special occasions and mixed with milk or into other cooked dishes. The blood is collected with minimal harm to the animal through nicking the animal's neck, collecting the blood in a bowl, and then clotting the wound to ensure proper healing. Researchers from the Institute of Archaeology and Ethnology of the Polish Academy of Sciences unearthed the tools while investigating whether domestication of cattle occurred independently in the Nile Valley or was imported from the Middle East. Excavations at a Neolithic cemetery in the Leti Basin revealed multiple graves. One burial pit contained the remains of an elderly man with fragments of animal skin that were colored with ochre, a red clay pigment that has been used as a coloring agent for over 200,000 years. The burial pit also contained a small bowl with traces of ochre and five bone blades, most likely made from cattle bones. Analysis of the bone blades found that they had funnel or gutter forms and were still very sharp. In another burial pit, a small oval cavity contained the remains of a young man entombed in the fetal position, also with red ochre-colored animal skin. After closer inspection, the man's skull revealed a precisely cut round hole, measuring 5 centimeters in diameter. The man showed no signs of advanced healing, so it is likely that this procedure was related to his death. However, evidence that people in sub-Saharan Africa undertook dangerous and complicated surgical procedures gives valuable insight into ancient pastoral communities. This story was reported by Heritage Daily. Next, we go north to Egypt, where researchers from the University of Tübingen, in collaboration with the Egyptian Ministry of Tourism and Antiquities, have discovered a collection of ceiling reliefs during a restoration project in the Temple of Esna. The Temple of Esna, also known as the Temple of Khnum, is a temple complex devoted to the ancient Egyptian god Khnum and his family. The temple was constructed in the Egyptian city of Esna, which was then known as Letopolis, during the period of Macedonian rule. The Macedonian Greek Ptolemaic dynasty, centered on Alexandria, ruled Egypt from 305 to 30 BC. The only portion of the temple remaining, and the location of the discovery, was added by the Roman Emperor Claudius between AD 41 and 54. The researchers also discovered the remains of a 1,400-year-old Roman bathroom with bathtubs, part of a cabin, and a storehouse adjacent to the temple. As reported in Heritage Daily, the team found in the temple a representation of the heavens that depicts the varying signs of the zodiac, several planets, such as Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, and a number of stars and constellations used to measure time. Researchers also uncovered images of various creatures, including a snake with a ram's head, a bird with a crocodile's head, the tail of a snake and four wings, as well as typical snakes and crocodiles. Over the centuries, the reliefs and their vibrant colors became covered by a layer of dirt and soot, helping preserve them for nearly 2,000 years. According to Christian Leitz, director of the Department of Egyptology at the University of Tübingen, representations of the zodiac are very rare in Egyptian temples. Zodiac signs and their related constellations, originally elements of Babylonian culture, did not appear in Egypt until they were introduced by the Greeks. Once established, they were used to decorate private tombs and sarcophagi. The zodiac was also of great significance in astrological texts, such as inscribed horoscopes found on pottery shards. Other than those in the Esna temple complex, only two completely preserved Egyptian depictions of the zodiac remain, both from the Dendera temple complex in southern Egypt. Our third story takes us to Austria, where the DNA of German composer Ludwig van Beethoven offered geneticists an opportunity to study the ailments that may have contributed to his death. According to the new study, reported by Smithsonian Magazine, Beethoven suffered from various health problems, including hearing loss, gastrointestinal issues, and liver disease. His decline in health and hearing began in his 20s and ended his performing career within a few decades. The cause of his hearing loss in particular puzzled Beethoven. In 1802, he expressed his wish in writing for future generations to find the cause of his deafness. Following his request, an autopsy was performed on March 27, 1827, by Joseph Wagner, assistant to the Vienna General Hospital's Museum for Pathology. Wagner was able to determine little with the knowledge and tools available at the time. Now, scientists have taken a closer look at the composer's health by analyzing DNA extracted from preserved locks of his hair. The team sequenced two-thirds of Beethoven's genome and examined it for clues. They learned that he was genetically predisposed to liver disease and had hepatitis B. For how long he suffered from the latter is unknown. He died in 1827 at the age of 56, most likely due to the problems with his liver. Beethoven also suffered from lead poisoning throughout his life due to the common use of lead in medical treatments, household products, and wine. Previous explorations of the composer's death pointed to lead poisoning as a leading culprit. However, according to the new study, Beethoven had not been significantly exposed to lead in the years leading up to his death. The lead concentration levels in his system were comparable to lead concentration levels in non-exposed people today. The research suggests that Beethoven's genetic predisposition to liver disease in combination with his alcohol consumption was far more damaging than toxic lead exposure. The DNA came from several locks of hair that friends of Beethoven's had kept, which was common practice at that time. The team extracted DNA from 8 preserved locks thought to have come from the composer's head. Other research projects had unsuccessfully tried to extract genetic material from Beethoven's remains, but more recent advances in sequencing DNA from very old samples made this new attempt possible. The new study was published Wednesday in the journal Current Biology. Our last story this week takes us to the Yucatan Peninsula, where archaeologists from the Mexican National Institute of Anthropology and History have discovered a serpent-like sculpture of the god Kukulcan at the Maya archaeological site of Chichen Itza. Maya people built Chichen Itza around the 6th century AD. It was a religious, military, political, and commercial center that at its peak would have been home to around 35,000 people. The city was a major urban hub from the Maya Late Classic period into the early phases of the Post-Classic period, from approximately 600 to 1200, persisting even after Maya civilization had largely declined. As reported in Heritage Daily, recent excavations, funded by the Mexican government, led to the discovery of the serpent sculpture. The sculpture is believed to have acted as a symbolic guide on the route from the Kukulcan Pyramid, also known as El Templo, to the sacred cenote in the north of the city's civic area. The sacred cenote is a limestone sinkhole once used for depositing ritual offerings and human bodies in sacrifice to the Chac, the Maya rain god. The serpent statue sits facing the sacred cenote, and a paved ceremonial route constructed to connect important structures and plazas with various ceremonial centers. These ceremonial roads are known as sacbes, meaning white road, possibly because the routes were once coated with white limestone. According to José Francisco Osorio León, an archaeologist who worked on the study, the statue is a symbolic representation of Kukulcan, the Yucatec Maya feathered serpent god. Kukulcan was a chief god of creation and life, and became a symbol for life throughout Mesoamerica. As snakes live in the trees as well as below and above the earth, the Maya saw them as a point of connection between the gods and humanity. Furthermore, the open mouths of the snakes were associated with caves, which provided access to the underworld. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our new subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.